I want you to take your Bibles and go to Micah. See if you can find it. Jonah, Micah. That helps. Micah is one of the, I'm going to teach this book. Next week I won't be teaching it, but the week after that I will. Just to let you know. But everybody's preparing for Christmas, right? People getting their packages ready, decorations. All the stuff's going on. You know, I'm looking forward to spending time with Brielle and Sarah and Mike. I'm going out there. Last week we went up to see Zach and Christine and had a beautiful time with them. You know, and if they didn't live 2,000 miles apart, we'd all be together, you know. But but it's a time for family. It's a time of joy. It's a great time. It's just a great, wonderful family time, and I'm very grateful for it. But God also prepared his people for the day of our Lord and Savior's birth. And but it's a real different thing. The book of Micah gives you an idea of why he prepared for the coming of the Messiah. It's not one of your normal happy Christmas teachings. But it's really important to understand the context of the coming Messiah and what is coming afterwards. I think that there's, in the scriptures, you can probably remember some of the quotes from Micah. We're going to read that one, which is in chapter 5. And it says in verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem, in Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting." I'm sure that all of you remember this quote from the birth record when the wise men came to Herod and they asked, "Where is this king going to be born?" And this was the verse that they quoted to say that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. The tragedy there was Herod was so afraid of the coming Messiah that he had all the children from 2 years old and younger destroyed. Yeah, quite a record there. And then I'm sure that all of you also are familiar with the record here in Micah, where it talks about what does the Lord require of thee in chapter 6, verse 8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." I'm sure that you remember that one from the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's what God wants. He wants mercy towards others. Let's go to chapter 1 here. And I'm sure there might be another one or two that you can remember. So, I didn't put that mic on. Isn't that nice? So, now we're going to go to Micah chapter 1. We're going to do a couple of chapters here. But I want you to think of this in light of Micah was just a regular average guy. Micah was living in the country just outside near the sea. And he got to watch his country ripping itself apart. He watched Samaria and Jerusalem both going down the tubes. He watched how evil they were becoming. And this is the time where God judges Israel and they're going to be sent off into bondage. And they're going to pay the price because everybody pays the price for sin. Nobody gets away with it. So the word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreshite, in the days of Jotham, Azariah, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. He lived through three kings. Which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. So these are the two cities, the two areas that are being judged. Hear all you people, hearken, O earth, and all therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and he will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valley shall be cleft as wax, and before the fire as the waters are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and the sins of the house of Israel. For is the transgression of Jacob, is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? The places that he is judging are Samaria and Jerusalem. They've both gone completely corrupt. Therefore will I make Samaria as a heap of the field, and a planting of a vineyard, and I will pour down the pull down the stones thereof into the valleys, and I will discover the foundations thereof. I'll dig up the foundations, and all the graven images which shall be beaten into pieces. They were worshiping other gods. They had tons of graven images. And they'll be beaten into pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burnt with fire, and all the idols thereof will be laid desolate. For she gathereth it from the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot. It's all sin money. It's all sin money. And God's going to take it, and he's going to wipe out the place, and the city is going to become like, I'll make it a vineyard. Your whole city, I'm just going to make it a vineyard. It's going to go back to nature. Therefore will I wallow and hollow. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons, and the mourning as owls. For her wound is incurable. The people's wound, what's going on there in those towns, is incurable. It can't be fixed. It's so sick, it's going to die. Not curable. It gives you the picture. Now, these are the people who go to synagogue. These are the people who are called the people of the Lord. And when you read the rest of the book, they think they're just fine. They think that the prophet is, they tell him, stop dripping. Stop dripping on us.
We're not like these. We're fine. And most people are self-deceived. For her wound is incurable, for it is come unto Judah. He is come unto the gates of my people, even to Jerusalem. Declare you it not at Gath. Weep you not at all. And the house of Asher, roll thyself in the dust. Pass you away, thou inhabitants of Sophir, having thy shame, having the same naked, and the inhabitants of Zechen came not forth in mourning, and Belzil, he shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitants of Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gates of Jerusalem. You know, they were thinking, oh, we're going to get blessed. We're doing good. We're going to get blessed. But evil came down. O thou inhabitants of Lachish, bind the chariots to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sins to the daughters of Zion. For the transgression of Israel is found in thee. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Moresheth Goth, the house of Zechzib shall be thy lie to the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitants of Marzath. Yeah. He shall come unto Adullam. The glory of Israel. Ah, come on.
Long time.
Yet will I bring an heir unto thee of the inhabitants of Meshah. He shall come unto Adullam and the glory of Israel. Make thee bald and pull thee. That's not hard these days. Make thee bald and pull thee for the delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagles, for they are gone into captivity from thee. You're going to lose your kids. You're losing everything that you got. Women got to run, hook up to the chariots, get out. It's all because of your idols. It's all because of your sin. And they don't even know what's coming their way. They got no clue. Now, this is the judgment on Samaria and on Judea. This is over a three-king period of time. Quite a while before God brings this judgment. He's given them plenty of time. Isaiah is up there in the northern country. Isaiah is speaking the word. Jeremiah is speaking the word. And this little prophet, and when I call him little, he's just a common man. He doesn't have any lineage here. There's no big story about him. He's just a country guy. And they call him a minor prophet only because he's got 7 chapters. The other guy's got 60. But it's all the word of the Lord. It's all the word of the Lord. This is what's the reason for chapter 5, verse 2. The hope that's coming. That the Messiah is all of these other towns get cursed, but not Bethlehem. Chapter 2 says, woe to them that devise iniquity. Now, this is a section that's against oppression. You know, they had committed idolatry, all kinds of other stuff, no longer obeying God, his word, or anything else. Plenty of idols, every city. They're just like whores. It's all whore money. All right? Chapter 2 says, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their bed. They said they lie on their bed and think up stuff that they want to do to people. Yeah, you're supposed to go to bed and be at peace, right? These guys go to bed and think up, how can I screw this one? How can I do this and get away with it? When the morning is light, they practice it. They go out and do it. Because it's in the power of their hands. And they covet fields. They're taking people's property. And they take them by violence and houses and take away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against his family do I devise an evil from which I shall not remove your neck, neither shall you go. Haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall all take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore, thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. What happens, and this is God's judgment, and this goes quite often in the Bible, right? Like the people who own the earth right now, the meek are going to inherit the earth. God is going to give those things that have been taken away from his people, he's going to give it to them. They're the ones that are going to get it. The people who have been cheated out of their lands and houses and whatever, these people are going to lose it. They're going to lose it, and there'll be no place for them. And eventually it's going to be given back to God's people. That's his judgment. Now, sometimes it happens in this life. Sometimes it happens in the kingdom to come. But the point is, that is the judgment of God. Nobody's getting away. That you may beat somebody. And this happens to both rich and poor. These old, evil, big, huge corporations just wipe people out, right? We all get onto that one, right? But then you got all these little guys that are laying on their bed at night, and I'm going to get that old lady down the block and take what she's got. It's all the same spirit. It's all the same evil. See what I mean? When it's all ill-gotten gain, when it's all covetousness, no matter what, whether it's big and orchestrated by, you know, the huge companies. You know, you run out the mom and pop shop just because you can. You know, but then people make their choices too. I can't figure out everything, but I do know this. If it's devised to hurt and to wipe somebody out, you know, whether it be, oh, let's lend them a lot of money so they default. You know? Because we know they can't pay that bill later on. Let's sell them that car that they can't afford. And we'll let them do the payment until we can repossess it. Or, like I said, whether it's the thug that's walking around the street eyeing who is weak in the neighborhood and who I can take easy advantage of. Whatever it be, it's the same devil. The same spirit, same sin as far as God's concerned. This is what put Israel in bondage. Idol worship and evil one towards another. This is what puts you in, I'm done with you, go into bondage. Where was I?
Six.
Prophesy you not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these the doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. Remember I said, these are the people going, they're going to synagogue. They're going. They think they're worshiping God. Just like in Jesus' time. We're doing it right. We're just business guys. We're just regular folks. They are rising up as an enemy against God. You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men advise adverse of war. There's a guy walking down the street. You take the shirt right off his back. You take everything he's got. The women of my people. Verse 9. The women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses. For their children have you taken away my glory forever. You've taken the widows' houses, you've taken women's houses, and, you know, basically women, they needed a man back then to provide for them and help them. You take advantage of the weak, the vulnerable, and women were very vulnerable completely. And they had to sell their children into slavery in order to pay the bills. That was God's glory. You have taken away my glory. Most people treat children like they're trash. And most people, again, they prey on the weak. They prey on the weak. Does this sound familiar? Nothing new. Nothing new under the sun, is there? Same world then, same world now. Same devil spirits running things then, same devil spirits running now. This ain't just, you know, oh, some. It was easier. It was a better time. It was, you know, I mean, it must have been nice. And this was among their own people. This wasn't messing around with nobody else. This was amongst their own people. Just like today. The people who are in your own community are the ones ripping you off more than anybody else. Just amazing. Nothing new under the sun. God's judgment is nothing new either. Remember, there's going to be great hope in this book. Don't sound so Christmassy right now. Okay? But there's great hope in this book. Because God is going to give a message of the kingdom coming, of his son being born. It's going to be, because God is a God of mercy. He is a God that forgives. When the penalty is paid for Israel, he brings them back. But you got to pay the price of your sin. You're going to live this way? No, you may look like you're getting away with it for a while. But then it comes, God's word comes to pass. Nobody gets away. You know, you can become a Christian, right? Go rob a bank last year. Get away with it. Become a good Christian. Study the Bible, whatever. They find out it's you that robbed the bank last year, you're going to jail. Nobody gets away with it, eventually. And if you don't get away with it, if you do get away with it in this life, you still got to face the Father and give an account. And that can't be pleasant. Stand before Almighty God and give an account of every idle word. We're going to do that. I'm going to know that I don't belong in the kingdom that's coming, but by the grace of God, Jesus Christ paid that price. And he's going to say, I paid for that with my blood. And God will say, acquitted of all charges. But I'll tell you what, it ain't going to be comfortable standing there. You took away my kids. You sold them. Says, for their children have you taken away my glory forever. Arise, you. Yeah, that was the Syrian when they did this. That's how they conquer a people. So what was the penalty to be conquered? You were shipped off to a different land. And a lot of times families were sold off to different places. So you had, in other words, here you are. You started, you messed around, you took care of, you robbed the widows, you sold off your children. It's exactly what's going to happen to you. Arise, you, verse 10. Arise, you, and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehoods do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto you of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. You know what? the guy who comes up, just like some of these characters I watch, the one that's speaking, oh, the spirit's in me, and I'm going to lead you. And yet, he's got a lifestyle that's like from the pit of hell with booze and all kinds of debauchery. You know, multi-$1 million, 10 planes, and just come, I get anything I want. Those are the people that I'm going to let lead you. Those are good prophets for you. He shall be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee, and I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah and the flock. And the flock in the midst of their fold. I am going to bring you all home in the future. I'm going to gather you and bring you back. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. The breaker is what? The Messiah. The breaker is known in Israel. That's what the Israeli people call the Messiah. He is the one who is going to be the opening the door. Anything that's in your way, he's going to open it unto you. You're the sheep coming home. He's going to take the barbed wire out of the way. He's going to remove the fences. He's the one that opens the door. The breaker is going to make the way through. And he's going to lead you back. The breaker has come before them. See, and he goes before them. You get... You could watch in some of these pictures of the museums. You can watch the Syrians and the Assyrians drive the people from behind with the whips and so forth to drive them off to captivity. Drive them away from their homes and put them someplace else. But the breaker... It's going to take all the obstacles out of the way to get back home. The breaker has come before them. They have broken up. They have passed through the gates. They are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them. And the Lord on the head of them. That's as far as I'm going to go today, as far as the scriptures go. God always, he always, oh, let me show you one more verse. It's the last verse in the book. Chapter 7, verse 20. It says, thou will perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. God is going to bring to pass every promise that he has made. Abraham is going to receive the land. The believers that are part of his heritage, because Abraham is our father, we believe. We don't abuse the people around us. We love. To love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus Christ said, to love as I have loved you. He raised the bar. We walk the word, we do the word, we live the word. We believe the promises to come, even in the midst of the bondage and the evil that we live in, like Micah lived in his day. The Lord was born in Bethlehem. He was born there because God said he was going to be born there. And you know what? He's coming back. Now, he did say, the Lord Jesus Christ did say, will I find faith on the earth when I come? I don't know. You got to answer that. You and I have to answer that. I'm doing my best. It ain't as simple as it sounds. Because you get tripped up. You get tempted. You get slammed. You know, there are people who think, oh, I'm just doing the greatest thing in the world. I'm in the right place. I'm, you know. And yet, just like these people, there's idolatry in people's lives. Whether they're worshiping themselves, they're worshiping their money, they're worshiping, you know, their idols in their house. They got these little statues, and they give in their own mind, they give power to inanimate objects. Giving power to inanimate objects. That's doing the same idolatry. God is your father. He is the one who protects you, watches over you. You have only to ask. He is your salvation. He is your high tower. He is your buckler. Not some inanimate object sitting on some bureau. But every word of God is coming to pass. So, next week we'll have a little bit. I'm going to teach next week online. We won't be here in person. So, hope you all come and be a part of it. And it'll be a different teaching than Micah, but then I'm going to come back to Micah because I really do want to do this book in light of, you know, the Christmas season. So, Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your great grace and your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. And for guiding us and keeping us in the hollow of your holy hand. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that you open your word and that you keep your people. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us from the evil that's in the world around us. I ask, Father, for your mercy, continuing to teach us your word. And continuing, Father, to help us to understand some of these books that we never read. And it's a shame we never read them, Father, because they teach so much. I love you, Father. I praise you, and I ask you for your blessing on everyone here and everybody online and all the people who aren't. Thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercy, especially on the children, my God. I ask you for your protection on their lives, and I ask you for your watchful care over them. Keep them from the evil that's surrounding them these days, and from the spirits, Father, that would destroy them. Thank you, my God, for your help and mercy in their lives. Take care of those that are hurting, the innocent, Father, and the vulnerable. Take care of all of them and bear your arm for them, my God. And I pray these things, my Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.